Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's great to be back in Denver. I was off on a tremendous trip to Los Angeles last week, and we had dear friends in studio filling in and helping out Bob Inyar Live. Today, some of the things we'd like to cover on the air, we've been doing a series at Denver Bible Church, Introduction to Christianity, Christianity 101. And a week ago, we covered the topic of the Trinity, and that was a lot of fun. Maybe we could update on that. We have Stephen Hawking, who's just, well, simply a lunatic. He says there's undoubtedly aliens, and we need to avoid the aliens at all costs. I mean, is he still talking to his imaginary friends? Is he off his meds? We know that he's an insignificant person. We know that from his own claims. And we also know that he thinks that to avoid global warming, we should go to the moon or Mars. Remember that? I mean, he announces these things and the media acts like he's reasonable, like he's intelligent. I mean, to avoid global warming, what did it do? Go up a degree before it started going back down? To avoid global warming, Stephen Hawking wants us to go to the moon. I mean, the daytime temperature in the moon is over 200 degrees. It's over 200 degrees. And there's no oxygen. There's no liquid water. He wants us to go to Mars. I mean, Mars is 50 million miles further from the sun than the Earth is. The temperature on Mars ranges from, what, 1 degree down to 180 degrees below zero. Below zero, 180 degrees below zero. He wants us to go to Mars or the moon where it's 200 degrees to avoid global warming. I mean, the guy is an absolute lunatic. You know, some people have high IQs and they're insane. So Stephen Hawking is insane. He's saying, look, don't talk to aliens. We know that aliens are there. We can tell. We know they're there, but don't talk to them at all costs. Avoid talking to aliens. He is a lunatic, and he's insignificant. Stephen Hawking is insignificant. And by the way, atheist evolutionist Richard Dawkins has written a book, The Greatest Show on Earth, and there's a rebuttal book called The Greatest Hoax on Earth by the world's number one creation author, Dr. Jonathan Sarfati. And Lord willing, we'll be interviewing Jonathan Sarfati this week on the show. So that should be a lot of fun. I've been reading his book, and what a great book. And I've read a couple of Dawkins books, and they are just so. We had a show we did back in the 90s, just that, you know, a nightly Bob Inyar Live TV show, and a caller called up, and we're talking about evolution, and Richard Dawkins comes up, and I made a statement. I said, in his books, Richard Dawkins does not prove evolution. He doesn't provide evidence for evolution. He merely assumes evolution is true. And I forget if the caller, did the caller agree with that or disagree with that? I'm not sure. So, but of course that's true. And so in his current book, Richard Dawkins admits, he says, in all my books, I never provided evidence that evolution was true. I never tried to make the argument. I just assumed it was true. He said, now I'm going to show the evidence. And the evidence is hysterical. And we'll talk about it with Dr. Jonathan Sarfati and his book, The Greatest Hoax on Earth. But the evidence typically is bait and switch, as Sarfati points out. Bait and switch. They say evolution, Darwinism, is that there is evolution from molecules to man, right? From the goo to the zoo to you. That's what they say. But then bait and switch. They say that's what evolution is, and here's proof of evolution. Look at this disease. That disease is proof of evolution. Look at this change. You have dogs and you have variation in dogs. That's proof of evolution. No, it's not. It's proof of variation. And creationists teach variation. So, of course, there's variation and there's deterioration of the gene pool because of sin, disease, and death. And so they say evolution is going from, you know, molecules to man. And then they do a bait and switch when they want to say, well, here's proof of evolution. Look, there's a disease. Say, well, the disease isn't proof of evolution. It's proof of a disease. It's proof that the genome is breaking down. It's not increasing in information content. It's decreasing. So we should have fun with that interview. And Stephen Hawking is simply insignificant. And he says the aliens are out there and Earth had better watch out. He says that extraterrestrials are virtually certain to exist, but that mankind should do all that it can to avoid any contact. Maybe at night we should put our lights out. What do you think of that? How about at night we just put our lights out so that any UFOs coming near the Earth at night won't see North America all lit up? I wonder what Stephen Hawking would think of that. He says we should avoid any contact with aliens. At all costs, we should avoid contact. So let's put our lights out at night. I mean, the global warming people will be thrilled to have the lights turned out. And North Korea then wouldn't look like a black hole from space, look like every other country. All right. Not long ago, Stephen Hawking said, hey, we're close to finding answers to the origin of the universe. And every time they do that, I think, well, I thought they've been telling millions of people for the last decades that they know how the universe started. That's what they've been telling people. It's like every time they find a new bone in the ground, they say, well, we found the missing link. I mean, how many times could you find the same thing? What, do they find it and then they go and lose it? What, does the museum curator lend it to the maintenance guy, the janitor? The janitor takes it home like the Stanley Cup and his neighbors steal it and they hide it and they bury it. The dog buries it and then they dig it up again. They said, we found the missing link. These people are lunatics. Darwinism is under assault from every direction. Fred Williams and I did a show on, we mentioned epigenetics and the design above the DNA where input from the environment triggers flags within the DNA to respond immediately within a generation or less to the environmental cues. And so when Darwin was on the Galapagos Islands and he noticed finches that had different beaks and all, he thought he saw evidence of natural selection, where over hundreds of generations, gradually their beaks would change based on the different environments. He wasn't seeing natural selection. He was seeing evidence of epigenetics, where genetic codes were being switched rapidly in order to customize the baby birds that were born for the environment, because it was a pre-programmed response to environmental cues. And he didn't know that. And the tree of life, Darwin's tree of life, is under assault. And every way you look at it, you've got to go to aliens. And Richard Dawkins, in the movie Expelled by Ben Stein, Richard Dawkins was asked by Ben Stein, how did it all begin? And at least he wasn't as goofy as the evolutionist who said, on the backs of crystals. And Ben Stein said, no, really, how did life begin? And he said, I already told you, on the backs of crystals. I mean, it was so bizarre. And so then Ben Stein asked Richard Dawkins, well, what if microbiology shows beyond any doubt that life could not evolve? It's too sophisticated. And Richard Dawkins says, if microbiology shows us that, if it ultimately proves that life is too complex to start on Earth, he said, well, then we'll know that life came from aliens. And those aliens, of course, evolved by some Darwinian process. And that's just a crack up, because if it's too complex to start here, well, then it's too complex to start there. All they did was punt. They didn't solve the problem. They just punted. And they think that most people are not paying attention. And they think that because most people are not paying attention. But Christians who are armed with God's word and have a Christian worldview are better able to spot the deception in the circular reasoning. Some people with personhood advancing all over the country, some people have asked American Right to Life, why do you guys list creation and speak against evolution when you talk about the right to life of the unborn child? They say evolution and creation has nothing to do with abortion. We say, oh, really? Well, if you think that you're an animal, well, then why is it wrong to kill a child? Some animals eat their young. Some animals eat their own young. A lot of animals eat other animals even while they're still alive in, you know, a tormented kind of hunt and kill. But before the animal's dead, they're eating the animal while it's still alive. And homosexuals, of course, have made it a virtual sub-discipline of science to study animals that behave like homosexuals. And they study that. And they think, well, look, these animals do it, so it must be okay if we do it. I mean, animals eat their young. Some animals eat their young. So Jeffrey Dahmer, is Jeffrey Dahmer wrong for capturing homosexuals and raping them, killing them, cannibalizing them? Is he wrong? Well, look at the animal kingdom. He's behaving like animals. So if the argument is that human beings could behave like pigs and dogs because we're just the animals, well, it's a bit hard to refute if homosexuals are actually arguing, which they are arguing. They're saying, look, we behave like pigs and dogs. And we think, well, how do we refute that? We don't exactly refute that, but what we point out is that's not a justification, because animals will kill one another without provocation and eat one another while they're still alive. And some animals kill their own young. Discover magazine was so despicable to have an article that was teased on the cover of Discover magazine about infanticide. And the article says that there are some animals that kill their young after they're born. Not abortion. We're talking about infanticide. So Discover magazine says, you know, it's a natural part of motherhood, of parenting, to kill your children after they're born. So they said, really, infanticide is at one end of the spectrum of parental care. And the New York Times does a three-page article saying that infanticide actually is a healthy behavior, and we should look at the law and realize that mothers should have the option to kill their baby after it's born for some period of time. They don't indicate whether that would be 3 days or 3 months or 3 years, but the implication is maybe 30 days or so, maybe a couple months after the baby's born, it should be legal to kill the baby. That's in the New York Times and Discover magazine. And that's a result of people saying that we've evolved from animals. We're animals. And, you know, animals will kill their young. The black widow will mate and then eat its mate. Maybe Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't very far off. Maybe he shouldn't have been put in jail. Maybe he should have been put in a zoo. So Stephen Hawking is a lunatic who says there are aliens, but please don't talk to them. Don't talk to the aliens. Do you know how bad it could be for us if we talked to the aliens, walked with the aliens? We have to avoid the aliens at all costs. The guy is a lunatic, and he's treated like he's the most brilliant human being who ever wheeled on the planet. He says we got to avoid global warming by going to the moon where it's 200 degrees during the day. Or he says we should go to Mars where it's 200 degrees below zero. And there's no oxygen. And there's no liquid water. And he's treated as though every syllable that escapes his mouth is brilliant. And he's an insignificant lunatic. Well, insignificant in his own worldview. Stephen Hawking claims to be insignificant. Now, I think he has an eternal soul, and he's putting it at risk by rejecting the truth that we have a creator God who made us. So he's not insignificant. In fact, Jesus Christ died to save him. But if he rejects God's offer of forgiveness and eternal life, then he's in big trouble. And he'll find out that the world was not insignificant. Human beings are not insignificant, that God made us in his image and his likeness. All right, I want to thank a gal out there. I won't give her last name, but it's Jan from Silverthorne, Colorado, who gave a matching fund. Now, last week, when I was in L.A. working on a project, and there's a gal who responded to the shows that were done last week. Apparently, our dear friends, including Leslie Hanks and Joe Scott, who else was in here? Scott Evans. People came in. Doug McBurney, Greg Jackson, best-selling author of Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies. I mean, Greg Jackson comes into the studio for Bob and Yurt Live and helps us stay on the air. It's just extraordinary. He gave us a case of his books and said we could send them out when people make donations to keep Bob and Yurt Live on the air when they're requested. And we have Jan from Silverthorne giving a $600 matching fund today. So that if people call in and say, hey, I'll give $100, Jan will double it. And if somebody calls in and says, I'll give $500, Jan will double it. Up to $600. Wow. Thank you, Jan. It's extraordinary. It's just extraordinary. Hey, Doug McBurney pointed out on this program about a week ago that for years we were saying here at Bob and Yurt Live that when we were locking up so many criminals, we went from 1 million inmates at any given time in the country to 2 million inmates. And the culture and the media said, oh, look, the crime rate is dropping. Well, no kidding. We weren't really lowering crime. We were postponing the crime because, as we pointed out for years, as these inmates get out of jail, jail is like timeout for adults. It doesn't work well. And if anything, you put all the worst students in the same class and they all get worse. You put all the worst people in the same place in jail and they get worse. And so now all these people are coming out in New York City. The crime rate is increasing, and that's a tragedy. In Chicago, there are two state reps from Chicago, and they are calling for the National Guard to join a special police squad for the parts of the city where there is just so much crime. They've had more people murdered in Chicago so far this year. Now, listen to this. we're at war, right? America's at war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Things are coming to a close, hopefully in Iraq, and heating up in Afghanistan. But we're at war in these two countries, and more people have been killed, have been murdered in Chicago so far this year than troops have been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan combined in the same period. You get that? So if you're a Chicagoland resident versus if you're a U.S. soldier in Iraq or Afghanistan, more of your peers have been killed in Chicago than in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we have this great tragedy of crime being epidemic in America, and our government and our conservative Christians not knowing how to address it. They simply don't know how to address it. They don't know. The conservatives want to lock people up in jail, build more jails. That just makes criminals worse criminals. You postpone the crime. You postpone it. If somebody threatens your kids and you just postpone it for 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years, you're fooling yourself if you think you dealt with it. You didn't deal with it. You just postponed it. So what else do we have? Oh, the series at Denver Bible Church, Christianity 101 on the basics. It's been so much fun. And we did a class on God, the Christian God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we're putting this on a DVD series, and Lord willing, it'll come out great, an 8-week series. But for example, with the Trinity, we pointed out that even though the Trinity is a specific Christian teaching, the Hebrew scriptures, which were written over a period of nearly 2,000 years before Christ, that they present the plurality of the Godhead, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, plural, he created, singular. Oh my, we just got $500 from California. Jan, your matching fund of $600 is virtually up to $1,100. We're at $1,000, really, because Johnny from where? Compton, California, is just given $500, and Jan now has $100 remaining on her matching gift. Wow, that's just astounding. Bob and Your Live was really at great risk. I shouldn't say was. I mean, we make it month to month, and a little bit of money comes in to pay for the airtime bill from 2 months ago, and I'm on to the next witnessing evangelical opportunity, and I act like everything is fine. And Al Sharon here, our office manager, he goes crazy. It's like, everything is not fine. We're almost off the air. And I say, yeah, but we paid the bill that was pending. He says, what about all the other bills? So if you could help, especially those who could give monthly, make a new pledge, $50 a month, $100 a month, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. It's just so very helpful. So the first sentence of the Bible, the world's number one bestseller, some people would have you believe it has a grammatical error because it has a plural subject. The word for God is Elohim, that's plural, and has a singular verb, he created. So in other words, in the beginning, God's, plural, he created, singular, the heavens and the earth. Now, is that a mistake? Is it a grammatical error? Or is the author trying to tell us that there's a plurality in the Godhead? Well, there's a plurality in the Godhead because 25 verses later, we read, let us make man in our image, that plurality. And then you know the Hebrew Shema Israel, the Hebrew prayer from Deuteronomy 6:4, the central prayer of all of Judaism, the central teaching of the entire Old Testament on the nature of God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Well, you know that Hebrew, you might not know this, but Hebrew has a word for one, which is a one of plurality. And they have a word for one, which is a one, just a singularity. And the word used for the Lord our God, the Lord is one, is the one of plurality. And it's used many times in the Bible. For example, with the Tower of Babel, the people are one. That's Ikad, the one of plurality. Joseph said the dreams of Pharaoh are one. Moses said the people answered with one voice. All those words for one are the Hebrew ikad. And back in the beginning of Genesis, at the institution of marriage, God said, and they shall become one flesh, ikad. And never once do the Hebrew scriptures use their primary term for a singularity to refer to God. That's yakid. But they use the plural, the plurality. It could mean one, but it's a special word for meaning one of plurality. That's what's used for God. And it's just so much fun to go through the Bible and the world around us and see the overwhelming evidence for the plurality in the Godhead. And especially the triune nature of God and of all of existence. So, hey, it's great to be back here in Denver. Maranatha Christian Center is a great school. And our website, kgov.com. If you've never looked at the resources on our website, you'll want to check it out. kgov.com, you could click on store. And if you click on support, you'll find all different ways to help Bob and Your Lives stay on the air, including, of course, donating. And you could make a donation online or by calling us at 1-888-8-NYART, 1-888-836-9278. You could make a regular monthly donation by calling and saying, I'd like this to be a monthly gift. And then every month, automatically online, it'll be processed. Very secure and all that. So, hey, God bless you. It's great to be back in Denver. KGov.com.